Welcome to Now You Know Politics. I'm Catherine Sussman.
And I'm Rob Laidlaw.
Today, we will be giving you an overview of the most pressing animal welfare and wildlife conservation issues in Canada and around the world, and hope that this podcast will get you thinking about these crucial problems ahead of the upcoming federal election and where activists should best target their efforts. This episode will underscore the link between animal welfare, environmental responsibility, and our own well-being. Thanks for listening. Rob, how are you? Are you enjoying this absolutely beautiful fall morning?
Not as much as I'd like, because I'd rather be outside, but unfortunately there's work to do, so I'm inside.
I'm noticing a pattern where that's what you tell me. So you're not getting out enough.
No.
Anyway, I'm really looking forward to our discussion today, considering that the election is coming up on October 21st. I really feel like this is such a great time to give listeners a sense of the overarching problems of climate change and conservation issues, as well as just other animal welfare issues occurring in our country and abroad. I wanted to begin by bringing up what you said very succinctly to me just a couple of days ago, that the two biggest threats to animals are climate change and overhunting.
Well, for some animals, I think we were talking about polar bears. Certainly other animals, both as individuals and as populations and species, face other kinds of threats. There's habitat degradation and destruction. There's habitat fragmentation. There's pollution. There's a whole range of different threats that wildlife faces. But certainly the two that you mentioned, among the more significant for some animals.
So when we're thinking about how the population can start to mobilize efforts or what they should be thinking about in terms of voting and animal welfare issues, can we just sort of give an overview, kind of an overview of the main topics that come up on our podcast, Now You Know, but just all of the different areas that we should be thinking about when it comes to work that needs to be done in regard to animals.
Yeah, when you're looking at Canada, certainly federally, there's a very serious need to look at the legal framework that currently exists and to improve it and to coordinate it. Right now, it's a very piecemeal approach to dealing with animals, and there are huge gaps, one of the most serious being that we don't recognize that animals are not property under the law. In fact, you know, a lot of people don't realize this, but animals are considered property, so they're not really afforded very much more protection than toasters, telephones, or refrigerators, and that really has to change. There are other issues dealing with companion animals, so the dogs and cats and pocket pets that so many people in Canada have that could be addressed federally. Probably the biggest set of issues, which involves the most animals, are farmed animals here in Canada. We have billions of them every year that are raised and killed. And when you look at standards in other parts of the world, you see that we are woefully behind other jurisdictions. And just to give you an example, our animal transport regulations, which are largely federal, are antiquated and do not ensure any appropriate treatment of animals, or at least not to the degree that they should be treated. And of course, we have a huge suite of wildlife issues, both wildlife here in Canada, things like polar bears and grizzly bears and, you know, migratory birds. Where
coyotes, the poisoning of moles out west.
Yeah, so a whole suite of issues. And then we also have the issue of animals coming in from out of countries. So in Canada, there are tens, if not hundreds of thousands of wild animals coming in from being caught in the wild for the pet trade. And there's a whole suite of issues like that. So there's a lot for people to be concerned about.
Can I jump in and add animals used in science? So the teaching, testing on
yes, animals. Oh, absolutely. And well, there you go. The list is so long, it's hard to remember all of them. But yeah, animals in science is a significant issue. It has been for decades. And we should be doing much, much better.
Just to give a sense of the scale of this, I'm going to get this statistic wrong, but at the Animal Law Conference, I heard something about, I think the number is 800 million land animals are killed a year. Could that be right in Canada alone?
Yes, and if you include aquatic animals, so if you include fish and other creatures, you're definitely looking at billions of individual animals. And, you know, for anyone who cares about animals or cares about the environment, I think it's incumbent upon all of us, no matter where we are in life or what jobs we have or what our economic situation is, to do whatever we can to try to help all those other creatures. It's really an expansive discussion that we could go on for several days. There are so many issues. Canada is still very much sort of behind the trends when you look at what's going on in other countries. Certainly, we need coordination of animal welfare federally. We have no federal legislation like the Animal Welfare Act in the United States or in other jurisdictions. So, you know, that's something that should be done. There's a number of different kinds of laws that we really should have protecting different kinds of animals that we don't really have today. There are all kinds of specific issues that people may have heard of, like the demise of woodland caribou or the polar bears we had mentioned earlier, and other species that really deserves attention federally. There's a whole range of issues that we can look at.
Something that just came up for me, I just got back from Halifax, where I attended the first ever, actually, Canadian Animal Law Conference. And a big topic of discussion was the rights of nature, which wasn't actually a term that I was familiar with. So I thought, wow, that's an interesting way of thinking of things. So kind of the merging of indigenous rights, nature, and animal welfare issues as something that's not really like on the average person's radar necessarily here in Canada.
No, it's not, but it is in other parts of the world. Certainly in some of the European countries, there's more discussion about it. In Latin America and in several other areas around the world, I think increasingly people are recognizing that if corporations can have rights and religious institutions have rights, well, why not nature? Why not animals? They should be afforded some kinds of rights too, especially since that, you know, that it's something that so many people around the world are concerned about and invested in their daily lives as well. So it's a topic of discussion, and it's one that you don't normally hear very much here in Canada, although it's just seems to be starting.
It was amazing because at the conference, different professors and speakers were talking about how in some countries, rivers have been protected, and in other places, glaciers have been protected. And it really got me thinking about this interconnection between the kinds of work we're doing, trying to protect a particular species, particular animal, give rights to animals that are currently in captivity, all these kinds of things, and how that is just so interwoven with the environment itself. And there is a lot of attention this election on climate change, the climate strikes globally and everything. But again, there's a disconnect for a lot of people between animal welfare and the climate, which is interesting. I think we need to really, you know, bridge that gap because it is all one and the same, isn't it?
Yeah, well, we're all in this together. You know, animals, people, the environment, everything is interconnected. I think, you know, that's certainly manifested in the literature, both the academic literature and popular literature these days. And it's an idea that, you know, is gaining traction more and more and more. I think more people now understand that these connections exist and that they're critically important, and you can't just sort of segment off the environment or segment off animals or segment off human issues and deal with them, at least not in a broader holistic way, that we have to deal with all of these issues together because we're all in it together.
I was talking to the principal of a school the other day about how she could better improve anything to do with the use of animals at the school, whether it be field trips or dissection or animals in the classroom. It's interesting because the principal was very much aware of the climate strike and encouraging parents to not bring their children to school, but rather to attend the climate strike. And when I went to meet with her, she said, wow, this is like a big gap because I haven't even been thinking animals, I'm thinking climate. And she actually wrote this issue on her whiteboard as something that it was just sort of like a light bulb moment for her. Oh, wait, this is a whole side of things that I'm not thinking about. And of course, it's interwoven and it affects us as human beings on the planet as well.
Yeah, and I think you're correct. A lot of people do have that disconnect. When they think of climate change, you know, they don't immediately gravitate to thinking about animals. They think about other kinds of things. But yeah, you know, we're facing a real dilemma with climate change, but so are animals. And you can see that manifested all around us. Like here in Ontario, we've got animals that weren't here 10 or 20 years ago that now are. And that's largely attributable to the changing climate. And you see this all over Canada and other northern places where you've got this shift northward of species that normally didn't exist here, and the more northern species that are suffering as their climate gets warmer when they require colder climates to live in. So we see it and we're all affected, and animals, I think for many of them, it's a huge, huge threat to not only their distribution, but to their very survival.
So where should activists, or just, you know, the average Canadian who cares about animals and the planet, where should they be focusing their efforts when it comes to this election?
Well, when it comes to this particular election, they should be engaging the candidates that are running for office in their riding. So they should be going out and talking about the issues that are important to them. You know, hopefully the ones we're talking about, environment and animals. And making sure that those candidates know that there is a concern. If they don't, they'll be educated by people going out and visiting them, but more importantly, by potential constituents to the people that are running, asking, what are you going to do about it? What's your stance on this? Do you have a platform? Have you thought about this? What are you going to do? And to hold them accountable. If they say nothing or they don't care, then you know, you've got your answer. And if they say they do care, then, you know, don't let them off the hook. Challenge them and say, okay, if you get into office, what are you going to do to help? Are you going to be a voice for the environment? Are you going to be a voice for animals once you take office? So, you know, that's probably in the election that's coming up in a couple of weeks, the most important thing that people can do is to engage those people that are running for office in their riding. That's critically important.
And you mean to engage them in a general sense then? I guess, see, the problem is there's just so many critical issues facing animals. So for somebody who's an animal lover and they want to help, how do they pick? How do they, but I guess what you're saying is just make sure that your representative is going to, you know, be bringing forward and be listening to you, paying attention and voicing your concerns, whatever they may be in regard to animals and the environment.
Exactly, because it may be a regional issue that a member of parliament might be able to address. It may be a policy issue at a federal level. There's a whole huge suite of issues that could be discussed. But I think you really want to see, you know, where does the particular candidate lie on these set of issues that we're also concerned about? And, you know, usually you can find out if they're interested in them and if they're willing to do something. And if not, then usually that's pretty self-evident as well. Some politicians will say anything to get elected, again, or if they're candidates, they'll say anything. But usually you can sift through that and get a general idea of where somebody stands on an issue or a group of issues. And that's very important to do. And it's something that most animal activists don't really think about, but they should get involved in some form of electoral reform effort.
Rob, really informative to talk to you about this today. Thanks so much.
Okay, thank you.